Thought for today. Peace begins and ends in my mind. Peace begins and ends in my mind. Peace begins and ends in my mind alone. Now, we can look at peace in many different levels of being. We can look at peace in the world, harmony among nations, harmony among businesses, harmony among organizations. We can look at peace in our community, peace in our given country, because that is important too. And we can look at peace in our family, in our extended family, and we can look at peace in ourselves, in our personal family, in ourselves. Okay, now, how do we look at peace? We look at peace as being balance, harmony, oneness. Peace is a feeling I don't want to say total, but a feeling of everything put together in a perfect way. Everything, and that's harmony, of course. Everything put together in a wonderful way. You feel good about it. You feel good about it. When you look at your son laying there in his bed, sleeping so contentedly, you just feel that peace. We look at the dogs as they're lying there sleeping, and we think, what a peaceful attitude, John. We look at the cats as they are lying in peaceful repose, and we know that in an instant they could be up on their feet and out after a mouse or some other thing that intrigues them. And of course, Button's like that too. Button can be lying in front of the door asleep, but he senses something outside the door, like a cat or a rabbit. He will just put up such a fuss to go out and get after those rabbits because he thinks they're made for him to chase. And the rabbits stand there and say, come on, Button, aren't you going to come out and play? We can outrun you any day. You know, you come on, you can just try it. We can go to places that you can't go. We can go under bushes and in all sorts of, and in holes in the ground. And you don't know where we have outlets. You think that just where we went in, that's the only place there is. We got to come out of there. We don't have to. We got holes all over the place. If you ever read Peter Cottontail, the stories of Peter Rabbit, you know all about rabbits and their holes and all about the tunnels that they have from here and here and how they look up and they watch how the carrots are growing. And then they see a carrot sticking down, yep, that's right, and boop, they pull it right down into their hole. And they don't even have to go out in the sun to pick a carrot. They just pick it from right down below. And they that's the way the story of Peter Rabbit, of course. Now, perhaps they do it a little differently, but it's a charming way to think about it. Okay, let's start with peace on earth. That seems like a very noble aspect. Are you interested in peace on earth? Are you interested in having peace in the world? Are you interested in having the world be harmonious with itself, with all nations happy with their own lot and developing it? Now, Japan made a big mistake. They went on a campaign to make more territory, to reach out and reach out and reach out, and they were not helping their people at all. The people were suffering. They had to help with the war effort. They had to give to the Japanese army, to the Japanese emperor, to the Japanese air force, to the Japanese shipping, all of their money. And they lived very frugally. But of course, it was on behalf of their country and on behalf of their emperor. Then the war turned, and they had to admit defeat and pull up their skirts and go into their own little country, onto their own islands, and live there. Well, General MacArthur was given the job to help them reorganize themselves. And General MacArthur never knew a thing about civilian reorganization, but he did a most amazing job. He did what he felt in his heart to do, and he was very, very successful. He created a foundation under Japan, at that time when the war was over and their feelings were at the bottom. He created the foundation in them to love themselves, as themselves, to love their own nation, not to want to reach out beyond their walls, but to take the skills that they have and develop them in such a manner that they would be one of the most wealthy nations in the world in the not too distant future. And so they did that. It took them 15, 20 years, but they began upscale, wonderful things that they created. They had no scruples about borrowing the Swiss watch and putting their own name on it. They had no scruples about borrowing the American cars and putting their own name on it. They had no scruples about borrowing the new technology that was coming out and putting their name on it. But that was not enough, because MacArthur had taught them they have skills beyond the people outside of Japan. They have ability and talent beyond anything else by anybody else in the world. So what did they do? They made a better watch than the Swiss. They made better cars than the Americans. Everything they did, they made better than whatever they borrowed. They borrowed the idea to get started on something that was selling very well, and then they put their own 2 cents in there, and it was superior. Well, at first they hearkened back to their old ways of doing things, and they made trash. They made things that had no longevity to them. But the consumer market wasn't happy with that. And they said to the Japanese, we don't want to sell your product. It doesn't stand up. It's not worthwhile. And so they immediately had a big session in which the think tank was boiling over, and they decided, look, we can make things so fantastic, so quality, and still put them out inexpensively, and we can do this beautifully. Now, all of this they have done without taking on another country or claiming another country, because they can't, they're not allowed to. The war crimes program is set up in such a way that they're not allowed to have any guns, they're not allowed to have any ships that are for warships and things like that for a period of time. And someday it'll be returned to them, just like in Germany. But they should be thankful that they don't have it, because they don't have to join the United Nations, and they don't have to send forces over to the United Nations to help protect the world. They don't have to take their guns and their tanks and their ammunition and their things and put it to work for other nations to protect them when they're not doing the right thing. Germany didn't have to do that either. Germany could just spend all of its money, all of its genius, on creating consumer products that were exquisite and beautiful. Of course, Germany always was known for quality. It was always known for producing things of remarkable longevity, and they continue that. Well, the Japanese took over that. They too now are producing things of longevity. They're producing things of quality, and the Japanese cars exceed the American cars on the market because they meet the need of what the Americans really want right now. And they have the intuitiveness to know that. They have taken all of their ability of making war and turned it into making an economically sound peace. And they're doing just that. They're doing just that all over the world. The Japanese people are relaxed. The Japanese people are peaceful. The Japanese people love themselves. They don't have to go to war. They don't have to protect the world. All they have to do is be a sound, peaceful, loving country. Now, the Germans did the same thing, and they did that very well. But the Germans, unfortunately, had a few shysters in their government, in their economic program, as the Americans have many shysters. And these shysters are people who are not adverse to telling a lie. They're not adverse to saying we have something that we don't have. The Japanese didn't do that. The Japanese believed in the nation at large, and because they believed with such childlike belief, they got stung a couple times, and their yen went out the window. But they've stabilized it now, because they had a few shysters there, too, who were not using good judgment. But you see, peace on earth begins with peace inside of yourself, loving yourself, having a good foundation. The Japanese could have been very malcontent, very unhappy, because they lost, and because the power of war was taken away from them. But they said, this too shall pass. But for the present, let's make ourselves into one of the most outstanding nations in the world. And they are. The Germans could not go to war. And so they made themselves, you might say, the outstanding nation in the world. You say, well, what about the Americans? The Americans have bigness, but they don't have the quality that the Germans consistently have. The Germans find it very difficult to put on anything less than quality. They like themselves. They like their products. They like their people. They are happy people. And this is a wonderful You see, this is the type of thing that builds friendships. This is the type of thing that brings peace within your own heart, peace within your own mind, within your own world, and peace in our time. Now, England, they had a few things that turned them upside down. In the first place, they had spent all of their money on the war effort, and they had none left. And so they could not recuperate as quickly as Germany could, because England had to maintain a war stance, because they had to be prepared for the Cold War. The Cold War with Russia. They had to be prepared for this, as did the Americans and as did many other nations. And the Cold War was a terrible, tough thing because it used up the resources. And so America is just very innovative. And because America is so innovative, it seems like it's got everything put together, but it doesn't. It still has to go fight the wars for other people. And this brings unhappiness among the residents in America, as well as the rest of the world. They think that America is the big daddy and is a big protector for everybody, and everybody doesn't want to be protected. You know? And so, but it's only because America has the largest country and can give the most people to the United Nations and to the forces that protect the world. If America had lost the war, so to speak, and it had to take all of its energy and apply it to running a nation, being an economically sound edifice, the world would say, oh, look at how wonderful America has come along, like they would say of Germany and of Japan. But peace is a purely economic thing. People want more land, people want more control, and it's not the people, it's the big people who run the countries. They want more land, they want more control, they want more of everything. So, since it is an economic thing, and not really an emotional thing, not really a self-righteous thing, it's just purely economics, they want the people of that other country to work for them. They want control, they want manipulation. So when we say there now is peace on earth and it began with me, we say there is harmony in every nation. Every nation is content with itself just the way it is. Every nation is content and enjoying what it is and expanding what it is to possibilities that it had never dreamed possible. Now, these guys who go out and help other nations.
Greenpeace?
No, it's like Greenpeace, but it's a
UN group.
It's a UN group.
Corps?
Yeah, but it's a group of young people that usually go out and help other nations. Job Corps. No, that's not something else. But the name slips me at the moment. But these people go out and they show these third world nations how to have live more sanitary lives. The Peace Corps. Peace Corps. Did you say that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Sorry. I thought Greenpeace. Oh, yeah, it's the Peace Corps. Wonderful group. But the trouble is, instead of the Peace Corps going out and understanding what these other nations need, they go out and say, you have bad sanitation, so we'll correct that. You have bad this and that, we'll correct that. And that's not where the problem is. The problem is in having the Peace Corps go to these nations and teach these people to like themselves, to respect themselves, to realize they have personal integrity upon which they can build their lives and their nation. And once the people begin to understand that, they will take care of all their needs themselves, because the things the Peace Corps teaches them, they know, but the medical doctors go in and they treat people for an illness, and they don't realize that that illness is what has kept them from dying by drinking the water, because it's so bad. Because this worm that's in them, or this virus or something, it is like a protector. It keeps them alive. Whereas when they get rid of this the worm or bacteria or whatever it is, then they have no immunity to the water that they have to drink. Now, if the medical people would go in and drill wells wherever they go and bring up the water, and if the medical community would go in and say, okay, so you have no electricity, you cannot pump the water, so you have not this, not that, we will build an artesian well. How do you build an artesian well? Because you use your head. You find out where there's a pressure zone beneath the earth where the water is bottled up, and you drill into that, and the water comes up continuously all by itself. There are artesian wells throughout the world that are servicing third world type conditions where people do not have electricity. They do not have the ability to pump the well. Interesting, isn't it? You see, when we think peace on earth, we think these people have personal integrity. These people believe in themselves. These people like themselves. This is the power that we have to work with them, to see them having personal integrity, to see them believing in themselves, to see them not needing some, militaristic leader to take over their government. They don't need that. They just see themselves wonderful, perfect, and beautiful. And when they do that, then they're truly at peace. Then they're truly at peace. And this is what life is all about, is for us to recognize once we have personal integrity, once we have balance, once we have economic stability, we have peace that passeth all understanding. We live in a world that is so utterly fantastic, so utterly wonderful, that there is nothing to compare it. There is nothing to say that this is like that, because that peace for each of us is unique, but very, very wonderful. Now, for each of us to say there's peace on earth, for each of us to say peace begins and ends in my mind, well, that's exactly where it does begin and end. It begins and ends in our mind. We think our thoughts of balance, peace, right action, truth, love, goodness, and pop, there it is. Sylvia gave you a demonstration of that with her expectation to go over and visit Switzerland after being here a period of time. She wanted to go and see her brother. She didn't know why, but she wanted to go see him. And shortly thereafter, he died. She wanted to go see her father, and she went to see him. And shortly thereafter, he died. But you see, she had intuitive awareness that she wanted to go and make these journeys. And she didn't have this desire to go to show off. Her desire was to go and just share her love. And the opportunity was there to do it. So the opportunity is there for the nations of the world to enjoy peace when we put it first in our consciousness. We say, now there is peace on earth. and it began with me. Now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. Now, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. That's like a never-neverville, you know. We say now. As Jesus said, now is the acceptable time. We say now. Now there is peace on earth, and now it began with me. And it begins and ends in my mind, with my word, with my affirmation, with my belief, and so it is. I love you.
Thank you.